You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to stetsonbaptistchurch.org. Of what our friends might tell us to do and go towards the way of Jesus. And really the big take home that we had last week was that going against the grain is influencing others to Jesus and the better life he offers. So if you weren't here last week, there you go. That's what last week was. If you were here last week, that's a quick refresher. If we were to take everything down to the core of what last week was about, it's that going against the grain is really just another way of saying we are called to influence others and even ourselves to Jesus and the better life that he offers when we follow him. Now, I don't know about you. I remember growing up and being in school, they taught me and probably taught you different types of questions that are important. You're like, Nate, what do you mean? You were probably taught questions like, what? Like to ask the question, what? Maybe to ask the question, who? Maybe then to ask the question, how? And then my favorite, and I think maybe even the most important of all of those, is to ask the question, why, right? All of you knew it, right? Who, what? Oh, I forgot when. Who, what, when, how? Why? Oh, where? Oh, let's say, okay, maybe y'all got taught so many more questions than I did. No, I'm just kidding. But why, at the end of the day, to me, was a question that resonated. It was a question that I found a deep level of importance. And if I'm honest, and I think if you're honest, why is a very important question to you too. It actually kind of helps distinguish and determine the meaning behind what you do, who you are, literally why you do something, maybe why you believe something, why you act a certain way, why you talk a certain way. And at the end of the day, the question of why gets not just to substance of things, but it gets to the substance of who we are at our core. It's the why behind what we do what we do. And so when we're talking about going against the grain, I know we talked about what it is. It's to influence others towards Jesus and the better life he offers. But tonight, I want to focus on the question of, okay, that's awesome, but why? Nate, that's cool that I get to influence others towards Jesus, but why should I? Why is it important to me? Why does it, at the end of the day, Nate, why does it matter? Right? And so that's what I really want us to focus on. You're going to see this question is going to be on the screen all night until we answer the question. But I want to walk us through a Bible story and a story in scripture that teaches us that question. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel 17. Also, if you would like to take notes tonight, and we have notepads, if you slip your hand up in the air, a leader will bring one to you. Real quick, hey, Ian, do you mind taking that off for me, man? It's a little distracting. So if you'll just raise your hand up and bring me one, they'll bring you one. And again, we're in 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. So 1 Samuel, if you're wondering where it is, it's in the Old Testament. So it's in the first half of your Bible. But if you're having trouble finding it, because it is one of those niche Bible scriptures or passages and books in the Bible, you can use your table of contents, which is at the front of your Bible. Feel free to use those. 137, if you are in the Bible that we provide to you, which should have been on your seat. It might be under your seat. So you said 137? 137. So what I really love about Old Testament Bible stories is they are very different, yet many of the first set of the Bible, which is called, here's a fun little Bible word for you, it's called the Pentateuch or the Torah. It's like those first couple books of the Bible. And what's really cool about it is they actually kind of have the same setup for Bible characters. And it all revolves around the question of, is this person the Messiah? Okay. So if you know anything about the Bible started out with this beautiful story of in Genesis of God created all things. He created things perfect. Then he created us. He created us perfectly to follow him. And he gave us a perfect purpose and even created us like none other. He says he created us as we were like God. And he gave us dominion and rulership and authority over the things that he created on this earth. And then we messed up. We sinned. We went against God's word. We went against what God said we should. And then there came this moment where in that moment, God said, there will be somebody that comes to save you because you can't save yourself. And so the Old Testament opens up with these stories after stories after stories of these people with the question on everybody's mind as you're reading it going, is this him? Is this the guy who came to save us? Is this the one is this the one God sent to save us from our sin because we could not? And it's really cool as you read the Bible stories because they're all set up like that. Because what happens is there's this climactic moment in every one of their lives where they are built up as this character that is the Messiah. And then there's always this moment where they do something that is told and they fall and you get the answer, no, it's not. But then somebody else comes on the scene and you go, is this the Messiah? And then he builds him up as he is. And then he ultimately falls and you go, no, he is not. The same thing happens as we're introduced into a character named David. David is a name, if you've been in the church or if you've heard of the Bible, you might have just heard about him. There's some stories about him that are very popular. But if you don't know, David is probably known as the greatest king ever to rule Israel, the people of God. He ruled over the people of Israel and he led them well. He actually led them to follow God better in a great and awesome way, better than all the people that were before him, and many would say better than all the people that were after him. But David had a very humble start. David's start was as a lowly shepherd boy. So much so as somebody from David's family was predicted to be the king, David's family didn't even think about David. They didn't even bring him in to be one of the choices of, is this going to be the king? Is this who God wants to be the king? They had to ask for him who, as he was out in the field, that's how lowly of a start he was. He was very lowly. He was very humble. He was very meek, if you will. But David has a beautiful story, and you've probably heard of it. It's called the story of David and Goliath. And that's the story that we're going to be talking about today. And it starts by David is called. He's already been told, he's already been predicted as king in the future. And so he's already been introduced as one day this guy's going to be king, but it's just not right now. And then we fast forward to a totally different story of a nation called the Philistines wanting to battle against the nation of Israel. So they're going against each other. They're clashing. And Philistine brings out their secret weapon. And it's a giant, a literal giant. It's crazy. I'm telling you, the Bible has some crazy stories in it. And this is one of them. They bring out a literal giant. And the Philistines are so confident in their secret weapon that they said, hey, here's what we'll do. He's going to stand out here. And you send anybody to fight him. And if you win, you win the battle against us. But if we win, we win the battle against you. That's how confident they were in their giant. They're like, well, we know Israel doesn't have no giant. We got a giant. I mean, I would be pretty confident too if I had a giant on my side. I'm 5'8", so it's not me. But Israel, they stand out there day after day and nobody wants to fight this guy. That's like, they were so intimidated. And then enters David. David is just bringing some things to his brothers who are on the front line, just waiting for somebody to fight this guy. And so David starts asking, he's like, what's going on? Why is everybody just like, oh, somebody has to fight that guy? Well, who is he? This is just some guy from the Philistine people. Hey, you know what? Yeah, I'll fight him. David's like, listen, I'll go up. I'll go fight him right now. And so people start laughing at him, right? Like, it's like if I went and was like, I'm going to go fight a giant, okay? Like, I didn't want to say it, but it hurt me to say that. But that's what, there are people, like, you would look at me and you'd laugh, right? That's, people are laughing at him. it becomes such a funny joke that it makes its way up to the king. And they're like, hey, king, just guess what? So you know how like nobody wants to fight this guy. Well, there's this like little like, you know, youth, like just like there's this teenager. And he's scrawny and he, you know what? He's actually just a shepherd. But he wants to go fight him. And so David walks up in there and he's like, hey, king, I don't know if you've heard. I'm ready. Let me take him on. I got this. So the king looks at him. He's like, no, absolutely not. Our entire nation relies on somebody beating him. It's not going to be you. Here's that question. Why? David's like, why? Why won't you let me? Nobody else wants to fight him. Why not me? The king brings up the, well, hey, can I just, you're too young. You're not going to, you're too small. Hey, you're, you know, David, I'm going to be honest, man. You might be able to do 5 push-ups. Like, it's not going to end well for you. No, you're not doing that. What I love about David is David, man, he's got this heart of a fighter. Because as he looks at the king and he asks, why not? And the king answers him. He then looks back at the king. And he says, king, I hear you. But let me tell you why I should. Let me tell you right now why I should be the one to do it. If you're reading, it's in verse 34. This is David's response to why he shouldn't. He says, king, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and I struck him and delivered him out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. King, you know I'm a shepherd and that seems pretty lowly, but can I be honest? I've dealt with some things. I've dealt with some beasts. And this guy over here, he is nothing different. He's a beast, not because of who he is, but because of who he is going against. Because King, you don't understand. Goliath isn't going against me. Goliath is going against God. Goliath has stood in front of God's people and challenged them, not understanding what we understand, that no matter who steps up to Goliath, it is not that person fighting the battle. It is God fighting the battle. And Goliath looks a lot smaller in the eyes of God than he does in our eyes. Man, this talk pumps up the king. And the king literally is like, go get him. Go get him, David. Let's go. Come on. Rally the troops. He pulls him in. He puts the armory or the armor of his own armor, the king's armor. He's like, go. The armor that's better than any other armor. He's like, put it on David. Send him out. He is our trooper today. And in David fashion, David goes, thanks, king. I don't need it. Hey, this fits weird. I don't want to wear your armor. I'm going to go out in street clothes. And I think sometimes we can just roll over that. But again, this is David saying, hey, if I need armor, then I've already lost the battle. Because if I need armor, that's me relying on my own power. I know I don't need nothing because I've got God on my side. I, David, am not fighting this battle. God is. So he takes a sling. Literally a sling and a few stones. So much so that Goliath, you know, he's up here and he hears David talk. He's like, he probably didn't do that. But he looks at me, starts laughing. He's like, this is who you send me? I've been out here for weeks, for months, for years, waiting for somebody to come against me. And you send me him? He literally says, this is the best you got? This is it. This is who's going to come at me. And you know, Goliath in that moment, you can kind of see David smile, right? Because again, like us, Goliath did not understand that this was not a battle between him and David. This was a battle between him and God. David, again, kind of takes up, man, he's got that fighter spirit. He's looking at a giant, laughing at him with a giant sword as he's coming with nothing and stones. And he responds to him in verse 45 and says, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and even with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. See, this day, Goliath, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. And I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that God saves not with sword, not with spear, not with armor, not with a sling. For the battle of the Lord's is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." Hey, Goliath, man, I hear you. And you can scoff and you can mock and you can spit down on me. But you must understand, this is not between you and me. This is between you and the one true God. And I'm sorry, but you're not walking out of here alive because you have defied him. Mic drop moment, right? Story goes on and it happens exactly as David says. He kills Goliath. And the crowd roars and they start pursuing them. And the Philistines run and quiver because they just watched their giant get slaughtered and taken down by a 5'8" young man. I love that I'm saying 5'8" and it hurts me every time. And the question is, right? Is this the Messiah? Listen, look at him. He's coming so courageously from such a lowly spirit. This should not be what a shepherd boy is doing. Is he the Messiah? And all the readers and all the hearers of the story are just getting so amped up. No, he's not. See, we read later that David does become king. And he does start pursuing the Lord. But then he falls. I'm not going to get into it, but if you want to read about it, David actually commits adultery. And then he actually has the husband of the person that he committed adultery with murdered to hide his embarrassment. And the reader of the story sighs. No, David is not the Messiah. But David was two really important things. First off, throughout it all, in his highest of moments of defeating Goliath to his lowest of moments of murdering his friend, David was faithful to God. He never left his faithfulness. He had his terrible, terrible lows and his climactic, amazing highs, yet through it all, he was faithful to God. And because he was faithful to God, he got to be a pointer. Not just a pointer to something small. Not just a pointer to something cool. He got to be a pointer to the one true Messiah that everybody was waiting for. And what's really cool about the one true Messiah is how many similarities there are between him and David. Because like David, the one true Messiah came from a lowly beginning. Like David, the one true Messiah was a shepherd, but not of sheep, of people. Like David, the one true Messiah was mocked, was looked down on, was downcast, was looked over. And what's really cool is like David, the one true Messiah faced a Goliath, but not a Goliath of flesh. Not a giant, something so much greater, a Goliath of all the sin and evilness and what's wrong in this world. He said, "That's the Goliath I'm going to take on. All of sin and death. And like Goliath, it stands no chance. The one true Messiah has a name, and it is Jesus. It's Jesus. And Jesus was faithful for us. Listen, Jesus didn't owe us anything. He still doesn't owe us anything. But he chose to be faithful for us, to deliver us, because he loves you, because he wants a relationship with you. Listen, the question, why? Why do I go against the grain? Nate, why is it worth it? Why does it matter? We go against the grain because God was, is, and always will be faithful. God was faithful. He is faithful. And let me tell you, he will always be faithful. Another way of putting this is, God is faithful, so you be faithful. God is faithful, so you be faithful. Man, hear me say this. David had no right, in his right mind or sanity, should he have faced Goliath. He should have looked at Goliath like everybody else did and quivered and said, not me. I can't do it. I'll lose. I will die. But David realized something that we need to realize. David realized that God was faithful. And every one of his words and every one of his times of talking to the king, to Goliath, to his family, to his friends, he always pointed it back to, guys, you don't understand. It's not me fighting this battle. It's God. Because God is faithful. And if God is faithful to me, I will be faithful to God. I think sometimes we read this story. You probably heard it spun this way. We go, hey guys, what's your Goliath? What's the battle God's putting in front of you that you need to pick, you know, you need to pick up the sling and slay? That is not the story today. Nor really should it ever be. Because you aren't called to fight your Goliath. Jesus already did that. Jesus already fought your Goliath and he won. It's over. The battle's over. Goliath is dead. Jesus put him in the grave and he saved you from Goliath. So what's the message for you? Our faithfulness isn't going against Goliath, it's going against the grain. Our faithfulness isn't going against Goliath, it's going against the grain. What are you called to do? Not fight Goliath, you're called to follow Jesus and point everyone back to him. That's our calling. And it's such a good one. It's such a freeing one that you get to look at the face of every single giant and say, this ain't my battle, dude. Jesus already got that. Whatever you're going through, it's over. Jesus won. We get the honor and the privilege of introducing other people to that victory. The victory that we get to feel and experience every single day. And how we speak to one another, and how we act towards one another, and even in how we think about one another. We're not fighting Goliath. He's already dead. Man, why isn't it such an important question? Why we do what we do, why it's important, why I speak the way I speak, why I act the way I act, why I respond the way I respond, why I play this sport, why I do this hobby. It comes back. Every why question points back to who we are. And isn't it such a blessing that when somebody asks me, why do you do things the way that you do them? Because it's different. I get to say, because of God. Because Jesus killed Goliath. Because Jesus was faithful. I get to be faithful. I can tell you right now, the front part of that question and that statement is true. Why? Because Jesus, God, was faithful. The second part of that question is where we remain. Now, are we going to be faithful? God is, was, and will always be faithful. Am I going to be faithful to Him?
Let's pray. Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.